I was listening to Brother Lewis when he said that the Lord dealt with him about giving his savings. Did you hear what Sister Lewis had to say about the whole deal? That's the way the Lord dealt with you. Okay. It's fine with me. Hallelujah. Would preachers have to ask their churches to supplement a need across the countryside? Sometimes it ends with a split right down the middle, because sometimes folks are too tight to even send a light bulb into a mission work. I was in Florence, Texas, pastoring the church. Brother Gerald Green and I was having an awful time. I was having a hard time. It was my first church. It was my wife's home church. And I was having an awful time. I was getting $150 a week to keep me going. And I was having an awful time making on $150 a week and make my payments. I was having an awful time. And when there was four tires on my car that was completely eat up, on Monday, a $300 check in the mail bought me four new tires. Brother Lewis did that. Yeah. I bought an Airstream trailer that really wasn't livable on the inside. And Brother and Sister Wheaton made it livable on the inside. My trailer tires tore up in a little church in Russellville. Bought me trailer tires. So preachers have taken care of me. They have. Turn your Bibles. Romans chapter 10. I want to read something to you. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse number 14 and verse number 15 is where I want to read tonight. Hallelujah. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now that ain't talking about corns and calluses. It ain't. It ain't talking about toenails outgrown or ingrown. Hallelujah. It's not talking about size. Is it 13, Brother Lewis? What size is yours, Brother Hampton? Is that right? Glory be to God. The grand prize winner tonight is Brother Hampton. Hallelujah. You win a year's supply of Dr. Scholl's odor eaters. Hallelujah. Well, 100 years, for 100 years, a model preacher has finally been found that suits everybody. He preaches exactly 20 minutes, and then he sits down. He condemns sin, but he never hurts anybody's feelings. He works 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to yard work to painting to custodial services to working with the sewer when it's a running over outside of the evangelist trailer. He makes $60 a week. He wears $100 suits. He buys good books regularly, has a wonderful family, drives a nice car, gives $30 a week back to the church, and always has something to give the evangelist when they pop in unannounced. He stands ready to contribute to every good work that comes along, and he keeps his bills paid. He's 26 years old. He's been preaching for 30 years. He's tall, but he's short. He's thin, and he's heavy set. He's ugly, Tracy, but he's handsome. Hallelujah. Steve Moore. He's got one brown eye, one blue eye. He's got his hair parted right down the middle. On the left side, it's blonde, and on the right side, it's dark. It's straight in the front, and it's wavy in the back. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers, but he spends all of his time with the old folks. He smiles all the time and never cracks a grin. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all of his time evangelizing the unchurched, and is never out of his office, and is never off of his knees in prayer. He is commonly known as a freak. Hallelujah. It's really been good being with y'all. Hallelujah. I want you to believe this, brethren, all of you brethren, I want you to believe this, that God is no respecter of persons. He don't save men for their coats or for their callings. He doesn't save a man because he's a doctor or move on a man because he's a lawyer. He saves men and women for their souls. He's interested in the eternal souls of men. And I want to tell you something right now. A holy calling from God will not save an unholy man. Hallelujah. I hear so much about the great deeds of certain revivalists, tent meeting revivalists, who would touch the sick and wheelchairs would be cast to the side and touch the sick and canes would be thrown to the side. But yet particular ones of them, one in fact, died in a drunken stupor in a motel room. And the question is, how can men preach so wonderfully and do such wonderful things, but yet be living so ungodly? And the answer is, the Word of God never returns void. The Word of God is truth if a heathen is speaking the Word of God. This book is truth. Are you listening? The ministry needs to take heed to ourselves, because we're exposed to some of the greatest temptations under God's heaven. Where some folks are never in the limelight, we are pushed into the limelight. Where some folks are never noticed, we stand on platforms across this countryside, sometimes in front of 10, sometimes in front of 20, sometimes in front of 500, sometimes in front of 5,000. And we're exposed to evils, and we're exposed to temptations that some folks are not exposed to in the magnitude that we are. And as long as evil is successful in scattering flocks, evil is going to work on destroying shepherds. And I'm not done. I just look done. I want it to be understood by everybody. And I want everybody to consider what I'm fixing to tell you. Satan cheats preachers of their faith just as much as he does you lay people of your faith. And Satan cheats preachers of their innocence just as much as Satan treats you lay people of your innocence. And Satan convinces us that we're multiplying and doing great things when in fact we're losing, just like he convinces you that you're doing great things, yet we can tell you're losing. And Satan baits the hook with things that attract us and our personality, just like he baits the hook and attracts things to your personality. I ain't affected by soap operas. I don't care about as the stomach turns. I'm not interested in the guiding light. My search for tomorrow has already been found. I'm not young and restless. Hallelujah. But I am a very high-strung, banjo-tuned instrument that all it takes is a light wind to blow across the string, and I ring. And the devil knows that. My wife knows that I'm extremely temperamental. I am temperamental. Are you listening to me? I'm temperamental. All you pastors' wives or preachers' wives that has a temperamental husband, raise your hand. I'm temperamental. Explain yourself. I'm a going to. I get nervous in the service. And I get fidgety. And one night we closed the revival and I had the trailer all packed down, couldn't even go to the bed. So Tricia laid on the couch and I laid on the floor. And every 5 minutes I'd raise up and say, "Are you asleep?" And she'd say, "Not yet." And I'd lay back down. "Are you asleep?" "Not yet." I get up with a flashlight and say, "Honey, are you asleep now?" "Not yet." She said, "Are you ready to go?" I said, "Well, since it was your idea." You heard me tell that story about following that motorhome up through when I left y'all. Following that motorhome, I had trailer trouble trying to get to Paducah and got behind a motorhome, huh? And couldn't get around him, huh? And they were on vacation and had been for 35 years. I know they had. You don't drive that slow and just have a week. No. I memorized their license plate. I memorized their exhaust pipe. I memorized their spare tire on the back of that truck. And my wife said, "Now they know, honey, that you bought this road, that you paved this road, and that you paid for this road. They know that. And I don't know why they don't get out of your way either." Hallelujah. I ain't done. Don't get nervous. I followed him until I just couldn't hardly stand it no more. And when I got into Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and they had two lanes of road there, I hit that floorboard with that thing, and them horses jumped to attention. I'm around them. I'm telling you, it never done me so much good in my life to pass a motor home in my life. That was the same day that we pulled out of town and went on down the road. My wife had a hunger spell hit her, and she had to have a banana. Oh, boy. And I pulled over on the side of the road to get her a banana. And while we was in there getting a banana, I heard this explosion. And I said, "It's the propane bottles on the trailer. They've exploded." I said, "Get the fire extinguisher. Get the fire extinguisher." And I was standing right beside it. Hallelujah. I ran outside to the propane bottles, and they were fine. And I said, "It's the truck." I said, "The truck has blown up." And when I raised the hood, there was red juice all over the engine, and it was a dripping, and steam was a coming all over the engine. And she's, "What are we going to do now?" And I didn't know it was the air conditioner hose. I didn't know that. I'm not mechanical. You remember me telling you that? I didn't know that. I thought that thing needed a transfusion. There was red stuff all over that motor. I was paramedic, something. It's dead right here on the road. It's dead. And my wife said, if you'll go call somebody or yell for help, maybe somebody will stop. And I said, I will. So I stuffed around there to go to the door, and there was traffic coming. And when it did, that guy in that motorhome drove by, and they waved at me. And my wife said, now say something. And so help me, Darryl Meadows, you know what I said? Oh, God, bless that motorhome. Give them a long and happy life. Don't give them no trouble for the rest of the devil knows just how to bait the hook that affects us. Yes, he does. Did you know that other men can sin without observation whatsoever, but you let one of the preachers sin, and the entire world knows it? Some guy in the church can creep in, be committing adultery with another woman right there in the church. And it can go for days and days and weeks and years, and sometimes it's never even challenged from the pulpit, but you let that happen in the ministry. And before you know it, before AT&T can even connect to the West Coast and the East Coast, the grapevine has already spread the news. Help me now. It is absolutely necessary for preachers to practice self-denial. The baby's about to be born. The savings account is empty. But sometimes we are called upon to practice self-denial, and it is doubly necessary for preachers to. That's because we are to be the leaders. We are not to do anything, ask you to do anything that we're not willing to do. We're not to ask you to live any way that we're not ready to live. We cannot preach to you against country western music and rock music and then do it ourselves. That's hypocritical. In fact, we've got to go the second mile. We've got to be twice. We've got to put ourselves twice out, because you're looking at us twice as hard as you look at anybody else. Help me, God. God will not permit a proud, entertaining preacher to exist any more than he will allow a proud devil to stay in heaven and command one third of the angels. He's going to rid it. Are you listening to me? He's going to rid it. And it's no small matter to stand up and face a congregation and deliver a message of salvation and damnation from a loving God in Jesus' name. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. How many of you would have liked to have known, preachers excluded, how many of you would like to have known that when you got to church tonight, when everything was said and done, the last call of action would be to call you out of the crowd to step up behind this pulpit and do something with this service that is directly in the mind of God? How would you have liked that pressure? How would you have liked to have done that? Hallelujah. There's some preachers in the house tonight that would have dreaded it. Yeah. Oh, yes. I dreaded it. It's not easy to speak plainly sometimes and be understood by the most uneducated, yet hold the educated's attention so they don't think you're some wallflower bouncing off of the wall like a basketball, with nothing else to say but amens and glory be to God's and hallelujahs and come on and help me nows. Try holding young people's attention from the age of 5, 6, and 7, and yet not be so childish that men like Brother Bruce will still come up to you after service and say, "You bless me, son, tonight, of preaching the Holy Word of God." Try to be that flexible. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you have no idea under God's heaven what it's like to be a preacher. Help me now. It's not easy to be serious. But we must be serious if we're going to reach dead hearts. We got to be sober if we're going to reach critical hearts. We've got to be sensitive if we're going to reach broken hearts. And then we've got to be jovial if we're going to reach heavy hearts. And we've got to do it in one message every time, because you've always got that many different spirits in every congregation that you're up in front of. I've got to make those that are down feel up. I got to take those of you that are up and push you down. And I got to keep those of you that's in the middle staying as close to the middle as I possibly can. That ain't the easiest job under God's heaven. No, I ain't done. Am I getting this on tape? Ever pastoring this, when this is over tonight, you get you one of these tapes, take it home, and make it mandatory that your critics listen to them. Hallelujah. But just in case some of the critics are in here tonight, hallelujah, I'll take care of them myself. Hallelujah. Pray, wife. Did you know that the minister has to feel like the father for the entire tabernacle? I tell you, Brother Shaw, I don't know if he's kidding or not, because sometimes you can't tell what Brother Shaw is thinking. Have you ever noticed that? You can't tell what he's thinking. I have no idea what he's thinking right now, but I know how he's looking. So let's all stand and be dismissed. Hallelujah. Listen to me. But Brother Shaw told me, he said, you make me nervous sometimes. And I don't blame him. Because when he says, have you got it for tonight? 9 times out of 10, I ain't. I ain't got it for tonight. He comes to service night after night when I'm preaching his meetings, wondering what in the world I'm going to do when he turns that service over to me. And although I'm the one you're looking at, that guy right over there feels responsible for everything that's said in this building. He feels responsible to find that man who's lost a loved one right now. He feels responsible for the electricity. He feels responsible for everybody's welfare. You don't know the pressure that men of God carry upon their shoulders. And what irritates me sometimes is some of you act like that you could care less. Oh, yes, I am.
Pray, Brother Cole.
Hallelujah. Anytime any of you preachers want to just come up here and sit on the platform with me, feel welcome. Hallelujah. Did you know that we have a heavenly calling, and we have a heavenly charge, and we have a heavenly responsibility? Years and years men trained for medicine. Years and years men trained to be lawyers. Years and years men trained to be in science. But the highest calling and the highest vocation on earth is that man and woman of God that trumpets the scriptures, stands up and proclaims, thus saith the word of God. Because it is when the doctor's medicine fails that the word we preach never fails. It is when science fails that the word that we preach never fails. Hallelujah to God. It is when the lawyers fail, we have a divine lawyer in the word that never fails. We've got the highest calling on God's earth. Are you listening to me? That Eden Singleton sitting over there with that gray hair that took a chance and preached me in 1976. Give me $90 to preach one weekend. Whoa! I left that church saying, hallelujah. There is money in the ministry. Hallelujah. God of heaven. Alternator went out on the way home and barely made it. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. That man sitting over there bared loads and preached messages and cried sermons. Hallelujah. I really don't know how the families are doing. I haven't talked to you. But was it 15, how many was it? Easter Sunday morning of your family. Hallelujah. 12, 13. There's a mob of them rolled out of them pews, backslid, hit that altar. How old's your daddy? 95? Come up there and prayed in that altar. I'm telling you, I don't know how many of what comprehended anything, but just watching Brother Singleton cry and watching Sister Singleton cry did me a world of good on that Sunday morning. I want to relay something to you right now. Every man of God and woman of God in this tabernacle has been genuinely handpicked by God. He did not go through a phone book and randomly look for an Aaron Brock. He did not randomly look for a Steve Moore. He did not randomly look for a Shane West. He did not go down through the book and randomly look for a Thomas Smith or randomly look for a Ben Shaw or a Joey Hite. He went down through the book with his preeminent mind and omnipotent mind, and he picked out individuals, hallelujah to God, that he knew could get the job done, and he placed the call of God upon their life. He chooses folks that have specific things. I was always, Brother Hampton, I was always, and I can't think of any better word for it than just to tell you, I was always at the tail end of every parade when they were going to choose up teams to play kickball. It always come down to me, and they fought over who had to take me on their team. That's how it always was. We're going to play softball today in activity. Who gets height? We had him last time. Yeah. I was always the tail end. I wished I'd known then what I know now, that the last shall be first. Hallelujah. And the first shall be last. And while some of them kickball players have now got destroyed marriages, and some of them are in penal institutions, and some of them are 6 feet under, I'm standing in tabernacles in front of the greatest people in this world, preaching God's holy, unadulterated Bible. My God, what a privilege I have. Help me, God, not to point to myself. God calls people with qualities that he knows that he can mold. Not everybody can accomplish the same job. Philip Snow don't accomplish the same job that maybe Brother Bruce Cole accomplishes. I can't accomplish the same job that Darrell Meadows accomplishes. And God knows that. Carl Parsons doesn't have the same ministry as that Mark Brock has. And God knows that. But they've all got divine ministries. They've all got special purposes. Are you listening to me? It grieves my heart. It's a cross I'm going to have to carry. I've been branded foolish and too jovial all of my life. But brother and sister, God knew what my personality was going to be when he called me to preach. He knew I'd use umbrellas. He knew I'd wheel in wheelbarrows. He knew I'd do strange things. Are you hearing me? He knew that Brother David Horton wouldn't. That there would be places where he would be effective where I can't. Hey, brother and sister, but because we're a little bit different from one another, it doesn't do anything to separate the fact that the same God in the same eternity has placed his hand upon us. Hallelujah. And I am no more in the economy of God than Brother Richardson. I am no more in the economy of God than anybody called of God sitting in this tabernacle tonight. And as long as I know that, and as long as we all remember that, God will always honor that. Strange preaching, ain't it, for camp meeting? Oh, God, I know it. I need to drop a bombshell on you right here. Time's running short. I hope your patience ain't. God ain't got no cowards in his ministry. God ain't got no sissies in his ministry. He didn't call a bunch of yes men. Hallelujah. We don't bend and bow to the wishes of every kind. Hey, we're not afraid to get in a warfare and fight the good fight of faith. And my manhood is extremely secure. God knows what he's doing when he calls his men and his women. There's some people under this tabernacle tonight that can't be bought. Material things, they don't no more influence them than nothing. Are you hearing me? I mean, you could promise me $1,000 bill to stay off of your cigarettes, that if God would move on me to preach on cigarettes, I'd do without the money. I have. Woo! And you could promise us the moon. You know what we'd do? We'd preach against it if God laid it on our heart. There's a few preachers in the independent Pentecostal movement and in some of the good Assembly of God churches that are not afraid to get up and look you in the face and say, like it or not, this is what God has to say about it. Help me, God. Now, people make broad statements to cover a lot of territory. You can't lump all pastors in the same bin. You can't put all evangelists in the same bin. You can't do it. You cannot put all missionaries in the same stew and stir that up. You can't do it, because all of us are not adulterers. All of us are not crooks. All of us are not undependable. All of us are not hirelings. All of us are not interested in the dollar. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm a preacher one of them kind of messages.